In the Chilean village of Chungungo, water is nearly as valuable as precious metal. The region is actually arid and parched, forcing the villagers to actually truck in fresh water along dirt roads from miles away. Until recently, the average person in that village could afford about 4 gallons of water a day. That compares to the American average of 90 gallons of water a day. Big difference. Buying a meager 4 gallons of water for them was about 10% of their income. So this was really a big issue for the people in this village. So in Chungungo, bathing was a luxury. It was all about drinking water, really. Scientists began to experiment with an ingenious new system for obtaining water for them. The 330 residents now drink water, the freshest that they've ever tasted, from high atop El Tofo Mountain. Under the direction of a Canadian cloud physicist, the workers have hung on eucalyptus poles a wall of finely woven propylene nets, each the size of 8 queen-size bed sheets sewn together. 75 such nets sift the clouds that sweep in from the Pacific Ocean during the day. Like dew collects on the grass, small water particles from the fog, from the clouds that come in, collect on the netting. 10,000 particles must collect to produce one drop of water the size of a tear. Still, each water net collects 40 gallons of water a day. The 75 nets on this mountain sift a total of 3,000 gallons of water daily from the drifting clouds and fog. That's more than 2 times what they had before. So maybe now they can take a short shower, which is a good thing. But they have some of the freshest drinking water that they've ever had. And you know, one of the realities that you and I celebrate as well is that as the people in the Chilean village fill the reservoirs of their cisterns, if you will, with this water from the clouds, so that they have fresh drinking water and bathing water every day, the way that you and I fill the spiritual reservoirs of our soul is through the praise and thanksgiving that we give to the Lord God Almighty. As we, in our hearts, raise our spirit before God, as we worship Him and give Him the honor and the glory and the praise due His name, it is as if the heavens open up and the rain of God, the rain of His blessing, the rain of His glory, floods down upon us in ways that you and I can only begin to imagine. Today in Psalm 95, we're encouraged to come with praise and thanksgiving. And I invite you to open up in that psalm along with me. I'm going to read some of the first 3 verses along with you for a moment, just to recap what we are hearing here. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And it goes on and on and on about why we should praise Him. So on this Sunday, on the eve of Thanksgiving, now I realize Thanksgiving is until Thursday, one of the great days of the year. I'm already looking forward to the meal. I know you are as well. I'm looking forward to time with family. I think it's a great celebration. But you know what? My philosophy is, why wait till Thursday? Every day of the week can be a Thanksgiving day up to Thursday, right? And even the weekend as well. And you know, the reality is, as we're in this week of Thanksgiving, we're reminded by the psalmist today about the importance of giving praise and thanks to Almighty God. And there are some ways in this psalm that we can specifically do that. One of the ways in which we give praise and thanks to God is through our songs. You know, as you gather here to sing the hymns before God, as we have the contemporary music that we sing as well as praise music, maybe you sing to God in the car as you're driving along. Of course, being careful, keeping your eyes on the road, things like that. Maybe you sing in the shower. Some people tell me, you know what, Father Joe, I only sing in the shower because if I sang around other people outside, they would not be happy. But you know what I say is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And as you give Him praise and worship, as you sing songs to Him, you're joining in a chorus of worship that has been going on since the beginning of time. You know, the reality for you and me is as we begin to worship, our sense is, well, now I'm beginning to worship God, and that's true. But one of the things you and I need to realize is as you and I begin to worship the Lord God Almighty, we are stepping into a reality of praise and worship that is already going on around God's throne 24/7 since the beginning of time. In just a little bit during the Great Thanksgiving, we're going to acknowledge in the Holy Holy and throughout so many different ways that there are throngs of angels gathered around the throne of the Lamb, worshiping Him and praising Him and giving Him honor and glory. And so as you and I, during this worship service, as you are listening to music in the car, as you're walking along the beach giving praise to God, as you're reading the Psalms, as you're singing in the shower, you are joining in a chorus of worship and praise that is resounding throughout the universe. How awesome is that? Another way in which we give praise to God is through shouts. Now, Episcopalians really aren't known for shouting during church. Let me just say that. Not too dignified. Give me wine and cheese, but shouts during service? No way. Ain't gonna go there. You know, it's just not right. But you know what? What the psalmist is talking about here is getting excited about God. Now, I know you've been excited before. I know at times Jan and I have been. We love West Virginia football. That's where we graduated from, WVU. And whenever we get a chance to watch the Mountaineers play, especially when they're winning, we love it. And when we're sitting and watching them play this football game, especially if it's a big bowl game or they're trying to get into a bowl game or whatever, if it's a big game, if it's the fourth quarter, if it's close, let me tell you something. We're not just sitting there going, oh, they just scored a touchdown. That's nice. Isn't that nice? I mean, when we've been at Mountaineer Stadium with all of the Mountaineer fans there from the college and they scored a big touchdown, we weren't all just sitting in our stadium seats going, oh, that was nice. That was really great that they did that. We were going crazy. We were shouting. We were jumping. We were like encouraging that runner, running back to get through that. We were yelling at the ref about that play that he missed because we were excited. We were shouting. We wanted our team to win just like you want your team to win. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. He says, you know, every once in a while, you need to get excited about God. And, you know, the question you and I have to ask ourselves is that if we're never getting excited about God, why is that? I don't mind that you get excited about a football game that your team is winning. I don't mind that you get excited about other things in your life that you love and you're so enthusiastic about. But my question to you and me here today is, why don't we get excited about God? It's okay. It's okay to get excited about God. It's okay every once in a while to raise a shout to Him. Say, God, I'm excited about what you're doing in my life. Anybody listening to me right now? That's right, just give yourself time to get used to it. You will. It's all right. You can shout to God with praise. Finally, another way in which we worship God is with our music. Music is a powerful way to worship God. Glenn, Jan, musicians, all of you who are singing here as well, thank you for the gift of music. It is a tremendous gift. And I don't know about you, but there are so many different genres of music that I love. I love contemporary Christian music. I love the ancient hymns. I love this service because of that. I love classical music. I love rock and roll, different things. And there are different ways for me in which when I listen to different types of music, it just lifts me up. It's like I'm in the heavenlies. One of the things I love about the stories that I hear from people that I read and that I've watched on TV and that people that I've talked to who have had near-death experiences to a person, what they have said to me and what I have read is that the music is out of this world, literally. It is heavenly. It is music unlike anything that you and I have heard. I can't even wait. I mean, I have to wait, but I am so excited about hearing it permeating your being, being a part of a melody that goes to the very cells of your being. So music is so special. It's a gift from God of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord God Almighty. Those are the ways in which we give Him praise and thanks. And why do we thank Him? Verse 3, for the Lord is the great God, great King overall. In fact, today is Christ the King Sunday. Did you know that today is the day that we're celebrating the kingship of Jesus Christ, that he is the king over all the universe, and he is worthy of praise and thanksgiving, that he is the ruler of all creation, that in him all things in the created order and throughout the whole universe are held together in him. You know, if it wasn't for the person of Jesus Christ, everything would just fall apart in this universe. The scientists still do not understand how it's all held together, but believers do. We understand it's held together in the person of Jesus Christ. Come, let us bow down in worship and kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God, and we're the flock under his care. You know, another way, beloved, in which you and I can worship God is we can worship God with our bodies, just the physical expression of our bodies. Some people have said to me at times, and let me just answer this question now. Some people ask me, Father Junior, why is it some people during the service raise their hands? I'd never seen that before. What are they doing? I mean, even from time to time, somebody will be raising their hands, and I'll kind of notice somebody looking over real quick. It's like, what are they doing? I've never seen that before. What are they doing raising their hands? Well, what some people in their experience of worship has been is that an experience of raising their hands before God in praise and thanksgiving. In fact, it says in the Psalms to lift up holy hands. Now, what I'm not saying to you is that you have to raise your hands in order to praise and give thanks to God. Whew, thank God, Father Joe. I'm glad you said that, all right? You can if you want. But you know, you can worship God like this. You can worship God like this. The most important thing for me that I always encourage people to do is to worship God from your heart. You know, it says in here about bend the knee before the Lord your Maker. I say to you today, if you can bend your knee still in this place, how blessed are you to bend your knee before the Lord God Almighty, to bend your knees at the altar as you receive him. How important it is for us every week and for me every day to bow down before him as a physical expression of humility before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, there are times for me in my house where I just prostrate myself because I feel moved to do it before the Lord because I just sense his presence and I want to worship him in the physical expression of my body that way. And so that's another way in which you and I can worship and give praise and thanks to God is in the very physical expression of our body. And I would just say to you, whether you are going through a great time where it's very easy for you to give praise and thanks to God, or whether you're going through a hard time where you're finding it very difficult to give thanks and praise to God, you know, walk it out. Walk it out. Take a walk around the neighborhood. Have a conversation with God. Don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. Who's that person talking to? There's nobody around them. What's going on? They've really finally gone over the deep edge. Who cares what they think? You know what? Go over the worship edge with God and just have it out with God. Go for a walk. There's something about a physical walk, isn't it, that just kind of works things out in your spirit. A walk along the beach, whatever you got to do, but go before the Lord in the honesty of your heart that you might ultimately come to him in praise and thanksgiving. Very important thing that you and I do as we worship and give praise to God. God is worthy of our praise and thanks because he is the Almighty. He is our loving shepherd, and he is our Savior and the Lord God Almighty. Russin Allen shares in his book, The Missing Jewel, what then is the essence of worship? It is the celebration of God. It is not the mumbling of prayers or the mouthing of hymns with little thought or less heart. We celebrate God when we join together earnestly in prayer and intensity of song. Worship is not grudging gifts or compulsory service. We celebrate God when we give to him with great joy and serve him with integrity. Worship is not haphazard music done poorly, not even great music done as performance. We celebrate God when we enjoy and participate in music to his glory. As a thoughtful gift is a celebration of a birthday, as a special evening out is a celebration of a friendship or an anniversary, as a warm eulogy is a celebration of a life, so a worship service is a celebration of God. Beloved of God, as you and I gather in this place, as one of my former priests in college always used to say to me, especially as we gathered at the great Thanksgiving in just a few moments, he used to say in his Bostonian accent, "It's a party." That's party for those who don't know Bostonian. "It's a party. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a party." And so Jude Milley, remember that? Yeah. "It's a party." It took me a while to translate what he was saying, but he was all jumping behind the altar, and I kind of got it from his visuals that we're celebrating and giving praise and thanks to God. It's a time of worship and joy and partying, really partying, Christian partying, at the goodness and the beauty and the love of our God. And how awesome and how beautiful is that? Isn't he worthy of our praise and our thanks? On November 17th, that would be just a week ago from today on a Sunday, in the morning hours in a town near Peoria, Illinois, violent tornadoes tore through that area, destroying over 1,000 homes. If you have not had a chance to see some of the pictures online yet, search that. Look at those pictures. It looks like a bomb went off and just destroyed everything, which is exactly what happened. But many of the residents weren't home that last Sunday morning because they were worshiping God in their churches. They were gathering on that Sunday morning as they had so many other Sunday mornings before to worship and give praise and thanks to Almighty God. And as they honored the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in their places of worship, not one church was destroyed. Not one person in a church died as they gave praise and honor to Almighty God. And what I want to say to you here this morning is, I give thanks for you. I give thanks for our brothers and sisters in Peoria, Illinois, and throughout this country. I give thanks for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, in Iran, and in China, and Afghanistan, and in North Korea, and in prisons and labor camps throughout this world who are being persecuted and killed for their faith, who stand up and say before certain death, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I give him all the praise and the honor and the glory." I stand here before you as your priest today, giving thanks to God for you. I thank you for your faithfulness in this present darkness, in this country and in this world, in many ways, which is running after darkness, which is exalting darkness and sin in this hour. I give thanks for you, week after week, coming to worship the Lord in this place, being his light in this present moment, standing before the world and saying, "Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. To him I give all the praise and the honor and the glory and the thanks. There may be storms outside, buildings may be destroyed, things might be leveled, but in the church of Jesus Christ, I stand with my brothers and sisters as I give praise and thanksgiving to God." And we worship him, and we give him thanks, and we believe in him that through the most darkest moments in our life, through the storms that have happened and that will surely come, like our brothers and sisters in Peoria, Illinois, where Deacon Bill and Sherry call home, where many friends and family are, and that's home for them, and they've talked to them. We rejoice with them that in the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Lord is with us, and that is enough. And as we gather here to give him praise and thanks and glory, we can do so with a sense of joy. We can do so with a sense of hope. And we can leave this place and go out into the world and share with people the good news. I give praise and thanks to a Lord who is alive and seeks to reach out to you and touch you in the midst of your life.